May a clear controlling vision that will direct us for all our lives. This weekend, we are on this wonderful subject of the world situation and Amen. The Lord's move. I hope that this is more than just a re-speaking of our conference 2 weekends ago in Anaheim. I hope through this a little mini conference reviewing these messages, the Spirit will also speak to each one of us to motivate us, to stir us up, to call forth a response from within us. Because we are living in crucial days. We are living in some very, very crucial times. And we need to be awakened. We need to be shocked. Just like the Lord needs to shock us with the election that we just had. Sometimes we are too comfortable, too at ease. We need some shocking situation to stir us up. That we need to, I like the last point from the last message, message two, we need to be made more aware. We are concerned that although we are living day after day in a very comfortable, peaceful country, prosperous country, we are also blessed being living here. You know, I saw this brother Myanmar from Ethiopia. I thought I'm in Ethiopia because I know him very well. He just moved here. Well, you know, praise the Lord. The Lord moves people from different countries and now living here in America. But what for? What for? Is it just for your education, for your good business, for your good to be prosperous in your human living? We have to ask. Right, what is, you know, at one point we ask about the meaning of our life. We receive the Lord to be a human being, but now you are saved, you have God's eternal life, but we still have to ask the question, what for? Right? Is it just for us to have a ticket to go to heaven, so to speak? God has come into us, has given us his eternal life. And now we are brought into his recovery. We have been exposed to the Lord's ministry. And this is the ministry of the age. We are hearing things that most Christians don't hear. They have not heard. And we are so blessed. Our ears are blessed. Our eyes are blessed. And sometimes I'm afraid that we may easily take things for granted. We think that's the way it is. Actually, that's not true. That's not how things are. If you go out of this hall, you go to visit many groups, go around to many denominations, mega churches, you would know what's out there. So we have to thank the Lord and worship the Lord for his mercy to us and to save us and brought us into his recovery, that we can come under this ministry of the age to hear the pure word of God, to have God's heart open to us. So we do have to ask, what for, right? Not just we have a better time to be a better Christian, but God has a purpose for us. His purpose has to become our purpose. He needs us. God needs man. Not only man needs God, God needs man. Even more so for the accomplishment of his purpose. We need to be made aware, more aware. We need to have to be more concerned and to be more burdened, right? I hope through this weekend's fellowship, we can become a little bit more aware and more concerned and more burdened.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Not only concern for your own welfare, for your own personal interest, or even just concern for the church in Chicago, we have to be concerned for the body of Christ. We have to be concerned for God's move, right? And also, may the Lord also make us more burdened. Something I hope when I leave tomorrow, I will leave some burden with you. Something that will leave with you for you to go to the Lord with, to have some transaction with the Lord. As I said, I hope this is not merely just to pick up some information what was being passed out 2 weeks ago in Anaheim, but the Lord will use these messages to speak to each one of us.
Amen.
There is something He wants to carry out, and He needs us to render Him the cooperation. As we saw from the last messages, that God's move is signified by this great wheel, right, in Ezekiel. This great wheel is moving forward, is advancing. God's economy is the greatest thing in this universe. This great and awesome wheel signifying God's economy with the all-inclusive Christ as the focus, as the center, and the body of Christ as the rim to be His expression, to be His enlargement, and all the believers are the spokes connected to the hub, that is Christ, and extending to the rim to be the body of Christ. This is God's move, right, to carry out His economy.
Amen.
So God's move, God's economy is a dynamic thing. God's economy is not just a thought. It's not just a static thing. Rather, God's economy is something dynamic, something that is moving. God has His intention. God has His eternal purpose. But to carry out that purpose, God had to make a move. He moved out of eternity. He moved into time, right, to be incarnated in the person of Jesus Christ. And then He continued to move, to go to the cross, to be crucified there, and then resurrected to be the Spirit. And He continued to move. He moved into you. He moved into me as the life-giving Spirit. So now He is indwelling us, and then He is moving in us, through us, with us. Wherever we go, we bring Him with us. And we are here continuing His goings forth, to go forth with Him. To God needs us in the principle of incarnation. We saw that God needs to move in us and with us to carry out His ultimate and final move, so that His kingdom can be brought in, that Christ can be brought back, can return to have His wedding, to be married to His bride. That is the church, the body of Christ today. So there is a direction the Lord has shown us, has spoken to us through the Thanksgiving conference last year. And now He is speaking to us more, not only that we see what the direction is, but we need to have a move to actually move toward that direction. So, and we also saw that this move of God is very much related to the world situation. It is hard to, God does not just do something out of the heaven, God just instantly go into the phone booth and then out comes Superman, right? put on a cape and here comes the, you know, the savior of the world. I mean, God had to raise up, prepare the Roman Empire and to cause Augustus to order, a census, and causing Joseph and Mary had to go back to their hometown, to Bethlehem, to be registered. And right during that time, Jesus was born. I mean, the timing, everything was sovereignly arranged by God. Amen. To bring about this greatest event of the incarnation of the God-man. And so God's move, you have to realize, is intimately related to our human history, the world situation. Nothing happens around us. Whether you like it, you don't like it, God is sovereign. Amen. God is sovereign. So as Christians, as lovers of the Lord, we should not be ignorant of our world situation. Of the world situation, right? And yes, we may have opinions about what kind of a situation we like to be, what kind of utopia we like to be, and forget about all your thoughts, all your expectation, all your concept. Just worship Him.
Amen.
Worship God.
Right.
Worship God. Thank God for America. Thank God for every situation, right, that He has put us in to work out the divine history. The divine history lives within the human history. God's move is always carried out in the world situation, right? So we need to know. We need to know today's world situation. Not that we are politically minded. No, we are not interested in politics. And we have no burden, we have no calling to address all the social problems. We are not here for that. But we are very concerned, we are very burdened for God's economy, God's interest, God's eternal purpose. This is what we are here for. And this purpose is being worked out in and with the human history, all the world situation. You know, in this conference, we drew a lot of the speaking from Brother Lee's speaking in 1981. That was the book that Brother Ken read earlier. That is the world situation and God's move. And then the second book was the messages in 1991. Titled The World Situation and the Direction of the Lord's Move, given in Memorial Day weekend, 1991. And that was, again, with the coming down of the Iron Curtain, and with this, the Lord's leading to go into Russia. And Brother Lee just had this leading to give that conference, I would say somewhat urgently, to address the change of world situation. So those, I would highly recommend you, especially these days in light of this speaking of the Lord, to read these two books. If you don't have it, get them, okay? This is a very, very valuable. This is one of the few occasions where Brother Lee spoke about the world situation in such a clear way. Right? One is in 1981, one is 1991. And of course, today we don't have Brother Lee with us. Brother Lee is a divine historian. He is definitely, we missed his gift very much, that he is able to see, to understand the world history in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God. So, but at least we can pick up the vision through these messages. So I highly recommend you to pick up these messages, pick up these books, and read them and consider them. And as we realize that since 1991, today, up to today, is already over 25, 26 years. And in these last 20 years, I would say things in the world change so much. Probably the things change, the world changed so much more than even in the past 50 years. The things that happened in these past 20 years is so dramatic, is so fast. You have the 9/11. You have the you have many pretty dramatic situations happen in these last 20 years, and particularly with this mass movement of people, the refugees out of the Middle East area into Europe, you're talking about not just a dozen of people, scores of people. You're talking about millions of people. And you have to acknowledge that is not, that cannot be just some man's arrangement. This was God's arrangement. Moving a mass body of people out of a certain regime, out of a forbidden regime, as far as the gospel is concerned, to move these people into Europe, where they are given the opportunity in the free world to hear the gospel for the first time. And we are hearing these testimonies. Some of these refugees, they knew about God in their way, under their kind of religion. And now when they came to Germany, they heard our gospel. And now they say, your God is so different than my God. I like your God better. They say, your God is a loving God. Oh, so many got saved, got touched in a dynamic way. And even some, are about to be sent back to their country, and they don't care. They were even burdened. They like to speak this, share this with their relatives, with their friends back home, most likely at the risk of their life. But they are, they're just within this window of opportunity. The Lord, in his hand, just moved this big mass of people from one regime to another regime. And, where in the past it's just nearly impossible trying to preach the gospel in that era, in the Arabic-speaking world. And now the Lord brought them out and saved them and bring them back. And this is only God's doing. And even within, I believe it's also within this period of time that there was a big mass migration from Russia to Israel, 1 million of Russian Jews that came back to Israel. I don't know, that's maybe over 10 and some odd years ago, which allowed the Lord's move to go into Israel, which opened the door. For years, we could not go into Israel. It was so difficult. But the Lord just waved his hand and just releasing 1 million Jews to go back from Russia to Israel, who were very seeking, much more open than the Orthodox Jews, and giving a way for the Lord's recovery to go into Israel. And here we are now in Israel. We have, four churches at least, and then even a church in Jerusalem, right there in the heart of Jerusalem. We have the Lord's testimony there, a golden lampstand. Dear brothers and sisters, is this just coincidental? Is it just a kind of, it accidentally happened? No. There's a throne above us. There's a throne in the universe. You have to admit. Dear brothers and sisters, this matter about God's sovereignty, shared by Ken in the message too, is so crucial in our Christian life. If we want to know the Lord, we want to follow the Lord, we have to see this matter of the sovereignty of God. Nothing happened to our life is by coincidence, by accident. God is sovereign. To see that the heavens rule. The heaven, he rules over all the world situation, both in the political world, even in your personal world, in your personal universe. Everything that happened to you, right? Where you move to, whom you married to, what family that you're raised up in, you have to believe God is sovereign. He is sovereign. His sovereignty does not imply that we should be indifferent. We should just sit back and just let things happen. No. That is our negligence. That is our passivity. No. To acknowledge God's sovereignty is not the same as to become negligent and passive. It is not the same thing. Yes, we realize we cannot change history. We cannot change the situation because God is sovereign. But we can participate in God's move. We can pray. We can join with God. We can stand one with God. Amen. You know, with U.S. change, the situation in Europe changed so much. Even it's also within these 20-some years, the European Union began. Right now, there are 27 countries in this union. Britain just got out last year. What about that situation? And here in America, we are in a precarious situation. What is this? A lot of opinions. But one day, I don't like politics at all. I don't talk about politics. But sorry, this past election, I just got so involved, and with my opinions, with my this and that, and one day I came before the Lord. The Lord just shut up, and especially after the result came out, I just say shut up. God is God. Don't exercise your preference to say I like this one, I don't like that one. Who are you? Right? God has used Nebuchadnezzar, who was a terrible king. God has used Nero. God has used many bad person, right, to bring in his move. We cannot just use our own view and then to exercise our preference. We just have to bow our knees and acknowledge God, you are the sovereign God. That's all. We just have to trust in the Lord. We cannot change environment. We cannot change government. Brother Watchman Nee gave some very helpful fellowship in his times concerning a Christian's view toward politics. We should have nothing to do with politics. We are not for this ism, not for that ism, although we know what is positive, what is negative. But we are not out. We are not going to go out to try to bring in a revolution. Christians who know God never will be involved in revolution. We trust in God. We submit to God's sovereignty. This is one of the basic lessons as a believer, to acknowledge God's sovereignty and to bow our knees and to submit ourselves to God's authority. This is the blessed position all believers should have. Never try to rebel or try to, I'm going to change the system. You just have to acknowledge. So, as believers, lovers of the Lord, we need to beware. We need to know. We should not be ignorant. Even though we know we cannot change the system, we cannot change the environment, but it doesn't mean that we should be ignorant. We should be negligent. Actually, we have a responsibility. Tomorrow we will speak more concerning the ultimate responsibility. We need to be very active in our spirit to pray, to watch over the situation, especially in the matter of prayer. We need to be very active. Amen. The people who know God will not be just passively sit there and say, God is sovereign, just let him work out everything. Amen. Yes, God is sovereign, but God is sovereign. God wants us to pray.
Amen.
Wants us to pray. To join in oneness with him. You know, I think in the conference, a brother's read about this little quotation from Brother Nee speaking concerning prayer. It was very, very, very enlightening. Brother Nee said, our prayer is not for asking God to do what you want to do. Prayer is for God to gain you as a proper person.
Amen.
That was very enlightening. Have you ever heard a definition of prayer in that way? Prayer is not for you to ask God to do what you want him to do for you. Prayer is for God to allow God to make you a proper and right person.
Amen.
When you pray to the Lord, you are not just to ask God to just answer your prayer, give you what you want, but your prayer, open up yourself to God to allow God to make you the right person. So as we are made aware of the situation, that certainly, especially in these last 20-some years since Brother Lee spoke this word, so many things happen, both in Europe, in the Middle East, also in Asia. Look at the rising of China, right? China, from that time, in 1991, when Brother Lee spoke that word, the GDP of China was like a number 10th or 12th, but now it's number 2. I mean, there is something there. I mean, in Asia, right? Brother Lee, in that book, he looked at the world in 5 regions. He looked at the world. There are 5 situations. Number 1 situation is Europe. And number 2 situation is Russia. Russia is another situation. And number 3 situation is the Arabic-speaking world, including Israel, the Middle East. And then the 4th situation is Asia. At that time, China was not that prominent, yet he was mainly speaking about Taiwan, Korea, Japan.
Far East.
And now you have to include China. China has has come up to a very, very important position. And then the last situation is America. These are the 5 situations that Brother Lee looked at, considered as crucial for us to understand the world situation in relation to God's move. So that itself is very enlightening. So now, of course, I feel these five regions are still very relevant today. Of course, a lot of changes, a lot of changes had taken place in these last 20-some years. But it's still these 5 regions are playing a very crucial role in God's move. Now, we have to know there is God's economy, and God's economy is a moving economy, is progressing, is advancing, and its advancement, its moving, is always in relation to world situation. It's always connected to human history. And now in this message, we want to see that what is this move of God? What is this move of God? And how is this move of God being carried out? And so tonight's message 3, the title, can we all read the title together? So 2 things. One, with this title, number 1 is the spreading of the divine truths. This is the way to carry out God's move. This is how God moves, is through his word, through the release, through the spreading of the divine truths. And then the second thing is to see a vision of 3 things. A vision of the world's ultimate situation, to see a vision of God's ultimate move, and to see a vision of the Lord's ultimate recovery. So we see that there is a move of God in this universe to carry out his economy. And how does God move? God moves by his word. You know, in John 1:1, we are told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There, in eternity past, this very one, God, was expressed as the Word. The Word as the definition, as the expression, as the explanation. The very God who is abstract, who lives in the unapproachable light, yet he is called the Word. He is the God who is defined, who is explained, expressed by Christ. God does not want to be hidden, wants to be unknown. Rather, he desires to be expressed. He is called the Word. This is the very Christ as the eternal Word of God, who was with God and he was God.
Amen.
Then in verse 14, we are told this Word became flesh. Surely this shows a move of this Word, who is in eternity, he was with God, and now in time, he came to the earth to become a man. The Word became flesh. Jesus was that eternal Word becoming a man. And when during his 33 and a half years on the earth, and especially at the age of 30 when he came out to carry out his ministry, according to Mark chapter 4, we are shown the parable of the sower. It says what? He is the sower. The sower went out to sow the Word.
Amen.
He sows the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. Christ, as the eternal Word, he came in the flesh to be the incarnated Word, to become the sower of the Word. He came to sow the Word. In God's economy, to carry out God's move, now this very Christ came to sow the Word.
Amen.
Into the human heart. We are the soil. Our hearts are the soil to receive the seed of the Word. And then in the book of Acts, after Christ was crucified, resurrected, to become a life-giving spirit, to enter and indwell all his believers, all his apostles, in the day of Acts, wherever these apostles, all the believers went, they carried the Word with them. They just spoke the Word. They spread the Word. And what, in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, chapter 12, verse 24, it tells us the Word grew and multiplied. What was happening there in the book of Acts? What was happening there with the church in Jerusalem, with all those believers? They were scattered because of persecution. And wherever those disciples went, they just spread the Word, just like Christ did when he was on the earth as a sower to sow the seed. Those believers, they went to just sow the Word. And the Word grew and multiplied. Today, who is sowing the Word? Who is sowing the Word? The situation today is deplorable. The situation today is disheartening. Which congregation today cares for the Word? It cares for entertainment. They care for some kind of motivational speeches, for self-development, for prosperity. Even in many churches, pastors, ministers don't even hold Bibles anymore, don't even refer to Bibles anymore. This is a fact. It may be, it's not absolute, but it's a general description. And now in the Lord's recovery, saints, we are so blessed with the pure word of God being not only interpreted, being opened and explained to us. And here we are. You know, we are sitting on a gold mine. You know, we have been gifted. We have been with the rich word of God. Even a little brother, little sister, junior, higher, know much more than many of the pastors out there. I mean, this is not a boast. This is just a fact. Yes, of course, they are young, but at least they have been taught with some of the basic truths, enabling them to know more by more revelation of the Bible than many so-called pastors and Christian teachers out there. This is just the situation. God moves through His Word. Then, of course, we know, we refer to Martin Luther's time, the Reformation. After 1,000 years, after the apostles passed away, right, and through the and with the establishment of the papal system in the Catholic Church, that from the 6th century to the 16th century, 1,000 years of darkness, the Bible was withheld to only allow the clergy class to read. No commoners were allowed to read the Bible. So God's word was concealed. There's no light, no revelation. People were not allowed to even read the Bible until God used Germany and raised up Martin Luther, that he recovered two things. First, he recovered the open Bible. He brought the Bible, he translated the Bible, right, into German, in German, and he allowed God's word to be read by the commoners. And then number two, he recovered the precious truth, the basic truth, though it's precious, concerning man can be justified by faith. So that was the beginning. We always refer to the Lord's recovery to begin from there, right? Because not that is God did not recover anything before him. God had his recovery actually much earlier than that, but a significant landmark of God's recovery work was during the time of Reformation. That's just 500 years ago. This year marks the 500th year from the time that Martin Luther nailed the 92 or 95 theses in the church there. So many of the brothers, I hope you'll see you there in Leipzig in October. And, you know, some will visit Lindenberg to complete Luther. You had done a good job, but you didn't complete what you did. Now we are here to finish, to complete what you didn't complete. You know, he started the work of Sardis. It was a name that was living but still was dead. And the work was never completed. Man was brought to salvation. It was wonderful. Got out to be rescued out of the Catholic system, out of darkness. Now man can be justified by faith and God saved. And that's it. They didn't get, they were not helped to go on further. No help in terms of their growth in life, their maturity in life, the being built in the church life. So they had a start, but there's no completion. So today, there has to be the ministry of the age to complete what Luther had not completed, right? And that's already 500 years ago. But the point is that because that through the Reformation, the Word of God was once again was released, right? It was held back in darkness for 1,000 years, But now, finally, the light was shining again. The water begins to flow again. God was able to flow, flow forth through the stream, through the tide of His Word. And then after that, you know, through the Moravian brethren and then the British brethren, and you know, the historian told us, especially through the brethren, the British brethren, the truths of God were unveiled. The revelation was like waterfall, just pouring forth, unveiling, recovering all the precious truths in God's Word. They were hidden. That was all lost in the 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. So God was moving forward by His Word. And saints, today is no different. And Brother Lee, when he came to this country in 1962, he brought the Word here. Of course, America, USA is a great Christian country. But in terms of the full knowledge of the truth is concerned, there is much lacking. There is much shortage. Our brother came to declare the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Just that one verse alone, right? I mean, you know, Livingstone pointed out those five crucial points concerning the Spirit of God. How can you be involved in the move of God without knowing these five critical points about the Spirit of God? Amen. Wherever the move of God is, there is the Spirit of God. But who is this Spirit of God? This Spirit of God is the Spirit of the One who went through the process. It's the Spirit of the glorified Jesus. Not the Spirit of God at the time of creation in Genesis 1. Right? The Spirit brewed over the water. But now, the Spirit who was not yet. Now, through Christ being crucified and resurrected, He is now glorified. Now the Spirit is ready. The Spirit is here to give life to us, to come in to indwell us. This Spirit is here. Do Christians know this? Can Christians explain John 7:39? Spirit is not yet. This is, our brother came here to bring to us 1 Corinthians 15:45b, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The life-giving spirit is not another one beside Christ. He is just Christ Himself in another form. Not like the systematic theologians trying to separate the three of the Godhead. One, you know, they should not be mixed up with each other. But the Bible clearly shows us the very Spirit is just Christ Himself. In resurrection, in glorification, in another form. The Lord is the Spirit. This is the recovery of the truth. And how this Spirit is also compounded, right, with the elements of divinity, with humanity, with the death of Christ, with the effectiveness of the death of Christ, with the sweetness of the death of Christ and the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, all compounded today in this Spirit.
Amen.
When you touch this Spirit, you touch divinity.
Amen.
You touch God. You touch man. You touch Christ's death. You touch Christ's resurrection. It's all here. Like today's antibiotic, all the elements are here. And this one, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the One who raised Jesus from the dead. It's Christ Himself. He is the One who now indwells us.
Amen.
He is also revealed as the seven spirits in Revelation. The Spirit of God today is sevenfold intensified to address the deep darkness of degradation today. To Christians, see these five critical aspects of the Spirit of God? Saints, I hope you would realize this is not just for to fill you in with some more knowledge. I took it that way initially. When I first heard Brother Lee spoke, why he pulled out these five things, and then I somewhat knew about them, and then why he made such a big point about this. But the more I considered them, I realized, wow, these five matters are so crucial in the move of God today.
Amen.
God moves through His Word. And His Word, not in the doctrinal way. You know, the brethren, they were raised up by God to unleash much, much revelation. But eventually, they got too much into the doctrinal side of the teachings. They became divided over the doctrinal side of the word. We need to hear the word, but we don't want to become just pick up the knowledge, the doctrines. We need to touch the spirit of the word. We need to touch all these truths presented to us with the spirit. The spirit who is now sevenfold intensified. The Spirit who is now giving life, now mingled, even one with our spirit. We need to internalize all the truths that we hear in the Lord's recovery. Not just say, oh, here again, life-giving spirit. Last Adam became a life-giving spirit. What's new? I heard this over 30 years. That means you still have not gotten it yet.
Amen.
You need to hear a little bit more.
That's right.
To hear from here to down here. It's not about what you know, dear saints. We need to be involved in God's move. We need to know God's, the Spirit of God, in these five critical matters. When you really know these five aspects of the Spirit, I tell you, you cannot withhold yourself. The Spirit will stir within you. The Spirit will move in you. Well, I'm saying about God's move is always with His Word. When Brother Lee came, that's what he brought to us. He didn't bring us some oriental philosophy. He brought to us the pure Word of God. And today, if we want to advance the Lord's move and to bring the Lord's move to the final stage, the ultimate move of God, we have to continue this move by bringing the Word of God, the truth of God, to Europe,
Amen.
To Germany,
right.
To Jerusalem.
Amen.
You know, ultimately, in Revelation chapter 19, remember, in verse 13, there's a man riding on a white horse. He is there conquering and to conquer.
Amen.
He is there fighting the battle at Armageddon with his army. You know what his name was? His name was the Word of God.
Amen.
The one who was riding white horse, fighting the battle at Armageddon, his name is the Word of God.
Amen.
Even at that point, this one is still fighting as the Word to fight that ultimate battle to bring about God's move. The unique means to carry out God's move is the Word. We need to spread the divine truth in order for us to have a part, to participate in the move of God today. We have to be in the Word. We need to be constituted with the divine truths, and we need to spread the divine truths. Wherever we go, just like the disciples were in Jerusalem, wherever they went, they just brought the word with them. It was not by any kind of campaigning, not by any kind of a movement, but just organically, just these saints were filled with the word, enjoying this incarnated word. This one who is the indwelling word, indwelling them, they just spontaneously live out the word, spread the word, and wherever they went, they plant church trees, they speak the gospel, the word grew and multiplied.
Amen.
The Lord's word has to grow throughout Europe.
Amen.
Has to multiply in Germany.
Amen.
There are seekers there.
Yeah.
The brothers recently testified to us, brothers from Germany, a couple of weeks ago, you know, just to confirm to us, the Lord has already gone before us. We think Germany is conservative. Germany is not, Germans are not open. One day a few brothers, they were eating at a restaurant, and they were just, before they ate, they were just praying, thanking the Lord. They were just singing a little hymn, you know, thanking, enjoying the Lord a bit. And then there was a German man with his family nearby and heard the saints were praying. So after they finished, he came over and asked him, "Brother, are you Christians?" Ah, and yes. And then they began. He said, "We want to know about the Bible. Can you come to my house tonight to have a Bible study with us?" That same night, these saints were invited to this German's home. There's a hunger. God has caused a hunger thrown in the land.
Amen.
In Germany.
Yeah.
And you heard also in the past few couple of years in France.
Yeah.
A country such as France.
Yeah. Yeah.
The French are open to the word of God.
Amen.
So, dear saints, we should not be so narrow-minded. You know, oh, a comfortable Chicago, comfortable California, where I'm, you know, it's still somewhat comfortable here compared to, you know, I know we have, you know, but relatively, you know, we are, you know, comfortable area, and saints, the Lord has to waken us up out of our comfort, our ease, that we need to enter into God's heart. Be aware of the world situation. The Lord has already gone before us. He has done some really great things. I mean, what brought us to Germany is because of this migration of the refugees. But then the brothers' fellowship, through the fellowship, we realize actually the caring for the refugees is not really God's goal. The God's goal is to recover Germany.
Amen.
And to recover Europe.
Amen.
Which is so crucial in the end time. For the fulfillment of Daniel, the prophecy in Daniel, you know, for the crushing of the great image. So we are dumb. We are just so slow. You know, no wonder. You know, the verse in Jeremiah 8:7. You know, Livingstone read earlier. The stork in the sky, the turtle doves. They know the season. When the weather gets warm, they fly south. They just knew how to adjust. When the weather changes, they knew where to go. But God's people do not know. There's this movement. It's as if it's still the same. It's still cold here. It's still, you just, as if nothing happened. The world is changing. It's just all these things moving. Are we more stupid than the birds? Are we less smart than the stork, the turtle doves? But that's God's word. Seem to imply those birds are smarter. They adapt to the change in weather. They make the moves. But he said, "Yet my people do not know." And the Lord was concerned. He himself said, "You can discern the weather. Look, the sky is red. You know tomorrow will be a good day." But why you can discern the sky, you cannot discern the age, the times. The Apostle Paul also said something similar. Know the time. Knowing the time, in Romans chapter 13, the day is approaching nearer than we were when we first believe. How can we be ignorant of the days we are in, of the times we are in? That's why in our first message, we want the saints to know this age, not only to know the physical, earthly times, but also the spiritual age we are in, It's an age of ignorance. It's an age of superficiality. And here we are, brothers and sisters, of all the Christians, we are the most blessed that we can hear, we can still hear the Bible being spoken in the purest way. What for? Is it just for us? Is it just so that we can be, you know, more comfortable, more spiritual? There is a responsibility. There is a commission that God has for us. Well, I better go on. That the Lord needs the truths of his recovery to spread to the whole earth. Well, 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Dear brothers and sisters, when we say the truth, this is the entire economy of God. This is our gospel. This is when we say the gospel and the truth, they actually are the same. If you ask Paul, the Apostle Paul, oh, you have been commissioned with the gospel. He called Romans my gospel, the gospel of God. Does it mean just to tell people believe in Jesus so that you won't go to hell? To Paul, no, my gospel is the whole thing. My entire epistle to Romans is the gospel. The entire truth, including the churches, the church life, the body life, they are part of the gospel. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. These are not two steps. These are the one thing, to be saved and also to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Not only to receive the salvation side of the gospel, but also to receive all the organic aspects of the gospel for us to grow in life, for us to be transformed, for us to be built up as the churches, to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Now, the spreading of the divine truths of the Lord's recovery will be a preparation for the Lord's coming back to bring the recovery and restoration not only to Israel, but also to the entire creation. All the prophecies in the Bible are not just directed to Israel. The restoration, the revival is not just to Israel. The Bible is a book written not just to the Jews, to God's people. The Bible is a book concerning God's economy. Amen. For his chosen people, both the Jews and the Gentiles, for his move to be carried out. So through the spreading of the divine truths, that there will be the preparation of the Lord's coming back to bring in a revival, a restoration to the entire creation. B, there is the need of the spreading of the translated, interpreted, and understood divine truths for the Lord's recovery and restoration. The spreading of the divine truths will bring in the Lord's restoration. Amen. Isaiah 11 verse 9 tells us what? In the time of restoration, at the time of the millennial kingdom, the knowledge Jehovah will fill the whole earth as water filling the sea. So there will be this characterization of the revival is what? The knowledge of Jehovah will fill the whole earth like water filling the sea. Everywhere, people will know God. Today, still in so many regions, so many countries, areas, people are still ignorant. They are ignorant of God. They're ignorant of the full, of the entire economy of God. So it is our responsibility to speak these truths, you know, to bring these truths to them. See, the Lord's recovery is full of the divine truths, but is inadequate in the application of the truths and slow in the spreading of the truths. This was Brother Lee's concern. We are full of the divine truths. Every household, I would say, you know, if not you know, if not bookshelves full, at least you have many copies of, you know, our publications on your bookshelf. Some have just bookshelves full of life study, all the green books, blue books, you know, all the recovery books. We are full of the divine truths, but we are inadequate in the application. The truths are not for knowledge. The truths are for us to experience and to enjoy. We need to apply the things that we hear. Not just to know the last Adam became a life-giving spirit and say, oh yeah, that's good. And what's next now? What's the next newest thing? No, you have to experience and enjoy and apply this life-giving spirit in your daily life. We are inadequate in our application, and we are also slow in the spreading of the truths. Well, I would say we have to take this not as a kind of indictment or judgment, but as a kind of admonishment from our brother to go before the Lord. Lord, how is my application of the truth? How is my spreading of the truth? Amen. You may not necessarily have to go to Germany or to go to Israel, but even at your job, you know, in your neighborhood, in your schools, are we doing that? Are we allowing the word to spread, to go out from us? We have to begin here. Of course, the Lord can lead you to go to Europe. That's wonderful. I feel that will be very good. We hope some will do that. But even before that takes place, even we can begin from our Jerusalem, right? From where the Lord puts us. We need to speed up the spreading of the truth and also the application of the truth. Indeed, the Lord's charge to us is to go and teach the nations so that the present age may be consummated. We like to use Matthew 28:19 a lot. Go therefore and disciple the nations. But also don't forget, verse 20, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Not only just baptize people. That's not the end. We need not only to baptize them, but also to teach them. We need to allow the word to spread the truth, right? Spread the full gospel. Number two, it is a historical fact that the world situation has always been the indicator of God's move on earth. Well, the brothers have spoken this already. The history of the church also shows us that the world situation is the indicator of God's move on earth. B, there is the need of an appropriate direction for God's move today to match the recent changes in the world situation. So, the world is changing before our eyes. There needs to be an appropriate direction. The brothers mentioned 1948, that's a very crucial year. Brother Ni in China, upon hearing the news of the election result in America, of course there was already that kind of movement going on in communist building strength in China. And upon hearing the news of Truman winning the election, so Brother Ni, right away, he was very much alerted. Something is happening. The world situation is changing. So he acted in a very decisive way, calling an urgent conference. Brother Lee was somewhere else having a conference, and he cabled him, come to Shanghai right away. And just in a very short time, calling this conference to mainly just to tell the brothers the situation is changing, that we need to, first thing, we need to ask Brother Witness Lee to go out of China. And in case the communist comes and wipe us all out, we may still have something remaining. And a few days later, he called a second meeting, another urgent meeting just among the co-workers, very brief. He repeated the same thing. He actually, in that second meeting, he just told the rest of us, the rest of the co-workers, we all need to stay and to sacrifice for the Lord. But Witness Lee must go. He has to leave as soon as possible. Brother Lee was very disturbed upon hearing that, feeling that whether he was unqualified to be with the brothers, to suffer for the Lord in China. And Brother Lee repeated to him, no. But rather, in case something does happen, that we are wiped out, that the Lord's recovery still may have something remaining. It is with that word Brother Lee was sent out of China to Taiwan. And from there, we know the story. When Taiwan, the Lord, 10 years later, then he came, sent out to America. So even, you know, if there was not that political change of the system, Brother Lee probably was still in China. And nothing would happen, even the Lord's recovery in the U.S., you know, we don't know what kind of condition we'll be in. So the sovereign God caused the world situation. There was that the election 1948, you know, altogether totally unexpected. And it happened. All you can say is, you know, it's not man's election. It is God's, somebody said God's selection. It's not because of man's election. It's God's selection. God decided that way to carry out his move. And our brother Nee was sensitive enough in his spirit, right away responded with some decisive move. And how about us today? We see quite a dramatic change in our system. Here in America, the administration, and there in Europe, the changing system. How do we respond? Should we just kind of, you know, put our hands on the lap and just say, hope things will work out well? Well, we have to ask God, Lord, what do you want us to do? We do have to pray. What do you want us to do? It doesn't mean that we just right away plan something and organize something, but we have to, just like what Paul asked the Lord on the way to Damascus, Lord, who are you? What shall I do? What shall I do? So, when we see many changes in the world situation, we must wake up and consider what the Lord wants to do and how these changes concern us. Number three, we need to see a vision of the world's ultimate situation, God's ultimate move, and the Lord's ultimate recovery. Here's a crucial point. Yes, we see there is God's economy. It's a dynamic move. It's dynamic and is moving along with the world situation that we need to be observant. We need to be aware. And God moves through his word. But in what way do we just go out to just preach the gospel as many other Christians do, right? Gather campaigns and then preach the kind of gospel. What should we do? How should we preach the word? What kind of a word should we preach? We need to see the vision of the Lord's ultimate move and the Lord's ultimate recovery. A says the world's ultimate situation involves the supremacy of the United States. The United States has been kept for the spreading of the central vision of Paul's completing ministry. The United States is the last power God will use for his final move. I don't have the time. I just have to refer you to the books. Okay, Brother Lee spoke it very clearly that United States is most likely the last country that God will raise up for the consummation of his move. You have to agree, United States is one of the youngest country among all the major powers, right? Less than 300 years old. But yet now climbing to be the number one leader of the world in politics, in financial, in technology, in science. How can a country just less so young? Look at in China, 5,000 years of history, You know, we should be, you know, the culture, the, you know, we should be doing, and others. Why did all of a sudden only, and the land was only discovered about a little over 500 years ago. This area, the Columbus, the discovery. God seems to have just hidden this. Sometimes you wonder, what? How can they not discover this place? You know, people still thought the world was flat, you know, and there was the fear of dropping off the ocean, dropping off the plate, the table, you know. Anyway, God just hit this land from man's sight for all these years, just until a little over 500 years ago. And then within that period of time, raised up, causing this religious persecution. People fled from Europe and came to find refugees as a refuge in this country. And this country started it in a very special way. All pious people coming to this country to find refuge from the religious persecution. And the country was young, it's young, but it's very proper, trusting in God with a proper constitution. And this country rose in power in just a short time. You think any human government, you think George Washington had something to do with it? You know, any man has something to do with it? No, the all-sovereign God, the sovereign master, he was the one who did this. Bringing the U.S. to this position. To what? To carry out his ultimate move. Now we need to know what this ultimate move is. B, the God's ultimate move is to carry out his economy concerning Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. I hope you may not readily, I know you may not readily understand what this sentence actually means. Right? But hope, bring this back to pray. Lord, your ultimate move is to carry out your economy concerning what? Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. This is Paul's completing ministry. That's what he tries. He completed the word of God to show God's people that Christ, he is the mystery of God. Christ is the embodiment of God. As in Colossians 2, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. This very Christ is not just a good man, was not just a spiritual man. He was the embodiment of God. All the fullness of God dwells in him. He is the mystery of God. If anyone wants to know God, he has to go to Christ. Christ is the explanation of God. He is the mystery of God. And now, after Christ died and resurrected, now as the Spirit, he enters into all the believers, in totality, all the believers together, we become his church, his body. The church now is the mystery of this Christ. And whenever you go to the proper church, a proper expression of this body in any locality, you will have to say, God is here among you.
Amen.
God is manifested in the flesh. It is in the church. Christ's mystery is being made known. If people want to know Christ, they need to go to the church. God's economy today, God's ultimate move today, is concerning these two mysteries. Concerning Christ as the mystery of God and concerning the church as the mystery of Christ. Number one, God's ultimate move to fulfill his eternal intention is to have Christ as life in us. How about let's all read number one together? This is good. This is a sentence that's good for you to PSRP, to pray over, to internalize every point. This ultimate move of God to fulfill his intention is to have Christ as life in us. Christ must be subjective to us. We cannot be speaking, preaching an objective Christ, 2,000-year-old Christ. Christ must be today in us, even flowing in us, saturating us, permeating us, making us fit to be built up as his body for his expression. Number two says, three items have been recovered: the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the Bible truths, and the scriptural way of meeting. Now this final matter of God's ultimate move must be our concern. God arranged, right? I think from the previous outline, God arranged Roman Empire to cause the gospel to be able to be spread, right? Through the roads, through the convenience of the communication, the language, that Paul's ministry gospel can spread easily, and also through Germany. Now the Bible is being recovered, the basic truth being recovered, and then through Britain, especially through the missionaries sent to China to bring the gospel out. To and then also in Hudson Taylor at one point, it were over 800 missionaries sent out through Hudson under the China Inland Mission. So many, we are indebted to all these missionaries sent out from England, from Great Britain to China. It's not easy, but the Lord used that Great Britain, who was raised up in power, defeating the Spanish Armada, and then to send out missionaries to China. And not only that, God raised up the brethren to recover the rich truths that has been lost. And through the brethren, not only the Bible were being taught, but also the proper way of meeting were recovered. So now, God's ultimate move still needs to be carried out. Number three, gospel preaching, teaching the Bible, and meeting according to the Bible are not God's ultimate move. Yes, they are needed. It happened. It may still, in some degree, going on. But that is not God's ultimate move. God's ultimate move is to gain a people who have Christ as their life and live him. This is what is needed today. This is not being spoken today in Christianity in general. Many don't even have this kind of concept. The concept is just go to church, you know, be good boys, you know, good Christian, good citizen. How about living Christ? To have Christ live in us, growing in us, to live Christ. As Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Not just for Christ, but is Christ. How about we alternate A, B, C, D, little sub points, brothers, on A.
It must be our real experience that Christ is the flowing life within us.
Amen. Sisters. Amen. Brothers. Amen. Sisters. Amen. 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 Dear saints, I cannot say any more than what is outlined here. It's all here. We just need to pray over these points, to be impressed, to be internalized within us. What is God's ultimate move today? Christ needs to be that flowing life in us, not only indwelling us, but growing in us, that we can also be built up with other members to be the body of Christ, right? Not only that, that we would be the sons of God, but Christ also may gain us to be his body, to be his expression. And in all the localities, there would be the local expression as the golden lampstand to bear the testimony of Jesus. Okay, now number four says, even if our gospel preaching is adequate, our Bible preaching is accurate, and our meetings are scriptural, we need to ask ourselves this question. Do we have the ultimate move of God among us? Each one of us need to ask this question, not just the elders, not just the co-workers. Each one of us who are in the Lord's recovery, we need to ask this question. Do we have the ultimate move of God among us? Am I involved in the God's ultimate move? You are preaching the gospel. You are, you know, reading life study. You're reading the Bible. You're also, you know, meeting together, you know, with the saints, having the Lord's table, prophesying, and so forth. But is it adequate? We still have to ask that. Is that God's ultimate move? Even living meetings. I remember Brother Lee, that was in the book, Practical Talks to Elders. Brother Lee was talking to the brothers that, you know, some of you are so, you know, you're so happy to, our meetings now so living, so many people prophesying, so active. But what are they prophesying? Are you happy with just the activity, the livingness? Our testimony is not just about how living we are. Our testimony is about Christ. Are we living out Christ? Are we exalting Christ? This is the question. Number five says, God's ultimate move is the fourth step of his move to accomplish his eternal purpose. The first three steps are the preaching of the gospel, teaching the Bible, and meeting according to the Bible. The fourth step is his gaining a good number of believers who know how wonderful Christ is, amen, who have him as their life and live him, who are filled, permeated, and saturated with him, who grow in life and are transformed by the flowing life within them, and who are built up with fellow believers to be the golden lampstand in their locality. This is what the Lord is after today. Amen. For the first step, the spread of the gospel, God prepared the Roman Empire. For the second step, the return to the Bible, God prepared Germany. For the proper meetings, for the third step, the recovery of the gospel, the teaching of the Bible, and the proper meetings, God used Great Britain. And for the fourth step, God's ultimate move, God has prepared the United States. This is the ultimate world situation, is the emergence of the preparation of this country called United States. And the ultimate move in this ultimate situation is for us to be in this, what is spoken forth in the fourth step mentioned in little b. As the ultimate move goes forward, there is the need for a powerful country, the United States, to keep the peace and to keep the way open. I was just considering today that if the world today does not have USA in it, if USA has never come into existence, what kind of a world we have today? Of course, you still have countries like Britain, Germany, France, China, and Russia, right? As a big country, strong country, hiding there, lurking, waiting for the chance. But God, in his sovereignty, drew the boundary, right, to where Russia can spread to. This is just God's sovereignty. If today's world without America, who can take on a role of leadership? Many countries, the gospel is not as freely spoken, freely spread as we experience here, and promoted as here in America. We take for granted, we live here every day, we just forget about what other, you know, if you travel to some other country, some many places, you would realize how inconvenient many places are. If it is not forbidden, limited, or just a lot of frustration. But God in His sovereignty in just a short time raised up this country as an ultimate world situation to carry out this ultimate commission, this ultimate move of the Lord. Here we can speak freely. We can not only preach the gospel, we can speak the high truths. Amen. Yes, people may oppose, there's the freedom for the word to go out. And America is the leader of the world. What is being spoken here is being respected in other places as well. There's an impact of what is being released, what is being spoken here. If you speak it in France, it may not have the same kind of impact. You speak it in Spain, it's not the same kind of impact. But God has prepared America. So U.S. has a very particular position to provide peace, provide order, to allow, not just for his own sake, but for this ultimate move of God. Number six, the direction of God's ultimate move must be toward Europe before the crushing of the great image, human image in Daniel 2 takes place. The Lord's recovery must spread to Europe and be rooted there. Amen. Now see, the Lord's ultimate recovery is the same as his ultimate move. The ultimate move of God has been lost sight of. But now the Lord will recover it and thus complete what he desires to do. Amen. So the ultimate move of God becomes the ultimate recovery of the Lord. Because the ultimate move of God was neglected, was lost. Now the Lord's recovery has risen up to be restored, to recover this ultimate move of God. The Lord wants to recover Christ, the mystery of God, becoming the indwelling spirit, to dispense the triune God into the believers, thus making us members of his body for his corporate expression. This body is expressed locally as the lampstand, which becomes his testimony, the testimony of Jesus. Number three, how about let's all read together. To conclude, I'd like to read you these the last page of this booklet that the brothers mentioned by Brother Nee, entitled "What Are We?" Spoken by Brother Nee in 1934, addressing to many questions thrown at him concerning "Who are you guys?" And in answering them, Brother Nee gave a very wonderful presentation of the history of the church, what God did throughout the centuries, and then leading to us. What are we doing? We are not just in addition to today's Christianity as another group. If it is such, there's no need for us to be here. There are enough groups, there are enough sects. There is a need. There is something particular that is commissioned to us. And Brother Nee said this at the last, as an answer to the question. He says, "Hence, what are we doing today? We should answer, as John the Baptist did, that we are a voice in the wilderness. Our work is to sound out the call to God's children to return to God's central purpose, to take Christ as the center of all things, and to take his death, resurrection, and ascension as the basis of everything." Can you imagine? This was Brother Nee's message. His burden is to bring God's children back to God's central purpose, to take Christ as the center of all things, and to take his death, resurrection, and ascension as the basis of everything. This is the message of Colossians 1 and 3. We know the position of the church in the New Testament. We realize that this position is lofty and spiritual. We thank God for the help rendered to us from the Western missionaries, yet God is showing us today that we should bring everything back to God's central purpose. Our work today is to return to the biblical ground of the church. This is along the line of the present truth Livingstone mentioned about. What is God's message for this age, brothers? 500 years ago, God's message for this age was man needs to be justified by faith. But today, if we still speak that message, we are out of date. We are in the 21st century. We are in the last part of God's move. What is God's message for this age? Not just for you and me, but for this age. Brother Nee, although spoke this word in 1934, there's some about 80 years ago, he is still part of this age. He is revealing to us, this is the message. It's about Christ to be the center of all things. All of God's truth has the church as the starting point. Paul was first put in the church in Antioch. Later, he was sent out from the church in Antioch. All of the truths that we preach today have the church as the starting point. This is our work, and this is our testimony. Amen. Then the next thing, he said, we should mention the miscellaneous truths less. We should do everything we can to show people that the Lord is the head over all things. We are not here to disrupt churches. Rather, we are here returning to the initial work of the apostles. We have to be careful about everything that we do. Everything that is of man, we must learn to reject. And everything that is of God, we must strive to attain. We thank God that we can touch God's grand purpose. We need to humble and prostrate ourselves and to deny ourselves. We need to be clear that our work today is not just to save some souls or to help others to become spiritual. Our goal is indeed the greatest and the most glorious. Thank God that we can know God's present truth. May God be gracious to us so that we do not become the castaways of the present truth. May we be watchful and may we not allow the flesh to come in or the self to gain any ground. May God's will be accomplished in us. Then he said, finally, concerning our responsibilities, I would add a few words. We have four responsibilities today. Number one, concerning the sinners, we have to preach the gospel. Number two, concerning Satan, we have to realize there is a spiritual warfare. Number three, concerning the church, we have to hold fast what we see today. And number four, concerning Christ, we should testify of the fact of his preeminence in all things. This is our responsibility. Today, gospel is preached. Many teachings are being carried out. But how about the preeminence of Christ? Amen. Today is only in this ministry. Both Brother Nee, Brother Lee have been faithful to bring us in, all-inclusive, all-extensive Christ, Amen. As the centrality and the universality of God's economy. Amen. This is the message for this age. Amen. This is the present truth. This is what we need to spread, not just another, some more gospel messages in the low level, but to preach, to present Christ as the centrality and the universality of God's economy. Amen. Amen. We can pray 1 minute with the one next to us, and we can have some response from you. I know we have... This afternoon we have no chance. We hope that many of you can speak from any of the messages this afternoon. Okay?